Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, you're tuning into a special episode of the Den of Geek podcast, coming to you from Star Wars Celebration. I'm John Saavedra, associate editor at Den of Geek, and I'm with my good buddy Rob Keyes.
Oh, hey John, thanks for having me on.
Rob, who are you?
I help run ScreenRant.com and its sister site CBR.com.
How's your con going so far?
It's been good. It's the floor takes a while to walk. I felt like I walked it twice. And yet, I still see people putting up photos of, like, merchandise at booths I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I'm super surprised because I've never been to McCormick Place, and just finding the floor was really confusing for me today.
Getting into the convention halls from the exterior or from a hotel seems to be impossible. I need help every time.
Yeah. Are you walking over the sky bridges and stuff like that?
There are multiple, I think.
Yeah.
So I still get confused.
Yeah,
I found myself did a loop in the sky bridges somehow, so yeah.
What's the coolest thing you've seen so far?
What I tell everyone bringing family to this event or people asking if they should spend like all 3 days here, I think the best thing to see is not just the booths or panels or, you know, the way you have to line up forever to get that kind of stuff. Same with the big store. But the best thing to see is just the people because they bring the most elaborate, detailed costumes I've ever seen for like any sort of fan-based community event. Like the costumes people put together for Star Wars, whether they're canonical characters or characters they created themselves or stuff from the Legends material, it's always like the coolest looking stuff. And having like a custom super bright lightsaber always helps.
Yeah. And you know what? Like there are a lot of like really great detailed ones, but there's also like the really simple ones that are super clever. Like I saw, did you see the one that's like a dude walking around who's like a rock? Like with porgs on it? Have you seen it? And like
No. His
arm is a porg?
No. The closest thing I saw to that was a giant BB-8 that like blows up. You know like the dinosaur costume
that blows
up with
air?
Oh,
that's amazing.
So the whole body was a giant sphere, and on top of that was another half sphere. And
he
was
God.
9 feet tall.
Yeah. And you were at the panel, obviously, today. What'd you think of Dio?
Dio's cool. Dio is very, like, when I think of what a Ralph McQuarrie droid would look like, Dio is that.
Huh,
it's kind of like that old school, because it brings back, like, you think what Luke's uncle and aunt, the type of droids they would buy on their oyster farm. Like, this is one of the things the Jawas would bring by. Like, an older, kind of a basic, simple droid, but it still has a little quirky personality.
Yeah. I don't think he would blow up either. I think
no,
he'd actually make it.
He seems like a safe droid. He seems like a fast droid, too.
Yeah.
He's literally a wheel.
Yeah. And that's supposed to be a nod at Pixar, right? Like, I think he... Did he mention that, or is it just in my head, it looks like the Pixar logo.
It looks like the Pixar
the light
lamp.
Bulb. So obviously, that wasn't the only thing we saw at the panel.
Mm.
We saw the amazing trailer. I think amazing, anyways.
Yes.
And we got the title, which I think is a little less amazing. Rise of Skywalker. Rise of Skywalker. I don't know.
It's such a J.J. Abrams mystery box title, because like nobody really knows what it means or what it refers to.
Yeah, because like obviously not all the Skywalkers are dead in the continuity of the movies, but...
And there could be more, who knows?
That's what I'm saying, like, does he have a secret love child? Like, did he have a wife?
I mean...
Does he have a secret cousin?
Also, the very basic question, is Rey actually a Skywalker? And maybe Kylo's a liar?
Like, that's the thing I don't want to bring up, though. You know, like, I don't want to, like...
touch it.
Like,
I know.
And we're going to discuss it. But it's, like, in my heart. I don't even want to talk about it anymore because, I mean, I won't be in the spot, but you're not, like, a TLJ fan, right?
I don't love TLJ, no.
Yeah.
But, to be honest, I'm... Of the Disney Star Wars movies, I think Rogue One is my number one.
Yeah, I can see that. I like Solo, too.
I thought Solo was great. It's a super fun watch.
And it's different. It doesn't have the baggage of, like,
it's different.
Fallout War, yeah.
Yeah, and they did a really good job. I was surprised by... I was very worried about the casting of that one, but they actually totally came through, I thought, in that film.
But anyways, going back to Rey being a Skywalker.
Look, man, to me, face value, it would be insane for anyone to trust what Kylo Ren says.
Sure, sure. No, not that's true.
In and of itself, as the character he's playing, but also in what he's trying to do, and as all Dark Lords try to do, he is trying to manipulate, and you do not use the truth to manipulate people, right?
That's true. That's true.
Why would anyone believe him? Oh, but the evil guy lies all the time and kills people.
Right.
He's
the
guy. He said this. I'm like, who cares what he said?
Well, you know what? Like, it was one of those things where, like, I think even Rian Johnson at some point maybe brought that up, like, the sort of ambiguity of, like, her being in that, you know, force cave, and then, you know, and then him telling her that she was no one. But at the same time, like, raised the point that you raised, basically, like, yeah, he could totally be lying.
And, yeah.
It was, like, a way for him not to commit.
Totally.
Which I think was probably, honestly, I think that was the right move for that.
And even in the original trilogy, each movie takes tonal shifts and sort of retcons things from before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if the plan was always for Luke and Leia to kiss and then be siblings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, in this movie, like, totally, like, I don't know, like, Rose and Finn will be brother and sister or something. Like, it's kind of, I mean, something like that.
Finn is actually Poe's father. Just ages differently.
But, like, the title in general, like, I don't know, man. Like, I guess maybe too, it's like I've waited for it so long that it like inadvertently made me jaded about it. Like, I feel like anything other than the balance of the force wasn't going to work for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's like, also things about the wills, people thought.
Journal of the Wills. Like, I mean, that's also, I think that's also a bad title. I know that.
It's an obscure word.
Yeah. My editor in chief wanted it to be the Journal of the Wills. And I was like, that's such a weird reference.
No one understands.
Yeah.
That.
But at the same time, I feel like an SEO expert went to Lucasfilm, was like, put the Skywalker keyword in the title and was like, just do it.
Yeah. Cause like, you see it to their top trending keywords. Skywalker Saga is number one.
Exactly.
Therefore.
And it's just like, I don't know, the Rise of Skywalker. Like, what do you
But also,
is
why is it rising if it's the end of the trilogy of trilogies?
Right. And honestly, like, I feel like they should have called A New Hope The Rise of Skywalker, since they could like go back, like they retconned the title onto
it. Called Episode 1 The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. So what the hell's going on? Like, why? Like, and there was a thing, like, I mean, I forget where I read it, but it was sort of a the Episode 9 title might reference a line from the prequels, and I was like, okay, but I can't think of any time they ever said The Rise of Skywalker. I don't know. It may have been like Express or something, UK. So.
No, the closest thing to Rise is when they first put Vader together. And don't they see Rise and
Lord
he gets
Vader
up?
Or something? Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that, man. But like,
it is unexpected. No one predicted it. So that's
no one came close to that. Like, I mean, yeah. I've heard Shadows of the Empire, which was supposed to be the title of The Force Awakens at one point. Actually, it was Shadow of the Empire.
Yeah.
But you know, like, obviously, besides, like, you know, Anakin appearing in this movie or anything like that.
You can't use Shadow of the Empire. I'm a big Dash Rendar guy.
No, yeah, that's a great title. I'm just saying.
You can't ruin that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I am not sure I am comfortable with the title, but, you know, I'm sure lots of fans like the title. But anyways, first of all, what did you think of the trailer in general?
So, it's interesting. Talking to you and, I guess, everyone sort of in the industry, and even, like, readers of our sites online, I think there's a lot of, not negativity, but like a lack of enthusiasm. And I think that's partly intentional at Disney's part, because we talked about this yesterday. There was no marketing for any of the projects that Disney is unveiling here, from The Mandalorian to Jedi Fallen Order,
right,
to even some of the park stuff, and certainly the movie. There was nothing. No marketing materials, no title, no nothing. And this was their moment to turn that all around and kind of make up for the lackluster performance of Solo, but also the dwindling merchandise licensing sales of The Last Jedi, which was very polarizing. And I thought this trailer kind of, as a teaser anyway, it was very exciting. It actually pulled at the heartstrings, which Disney and J.J. Abrams are very good at with their epic trailers.
Right.
But people came out of that being like, oh, wow, this is unexpected. It looks visually incredible.
Yeah.
And also, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and like that's a great like Abrams talent, too. It's like, you have no idea the order of these things, or like where this battle is going on, or like what planet we're on. Like,
yeah.
I think they're very good at that, like not giving us any kind of coherent order to anything.
Here's what's interesting, and this is very Abrams. Abrams is really, again, and this is what I am concerned with. Mm-hmm. I love everything I see in the trailer. I think visually it is incredible, although I thought the last two movies were visually incredible.
Yeah.
It is, like, again, pulling back into nostalgia. They're even pulling back more things. I think I told you yesterday, I said, if I saw an Ewok on the forest moon of Endor, I would throw chairs at people and get kicked out and arrested. And they got close, because I'm pretty sure they showed the fallen remains of the Death Star 2 on the forest moon of Endor. I'm like, oh, God. And then they talk about, you know, the big reveal at the end, if we can just jump to that,
is Palpatine
returning.
Right.
And now that changes everything. That means when Kylo Ren probably went to Endor to get that helmet, which we saw.
Right.
Get that Vader's helmet. Maybe he did encounter Palpatine.
Right.
Palpatine turned from the beginning. It wasn't Snoke. It wasn't Luke's failings. Palpatine was pulling the strings the whole time, I guess. Why else would he show up here?
Well, you know what? Like, there's a lot of EU stuff. Like, I don't know, like, how much you've read of, like, the Chuck Wendig Aftermath books and things like that. Mm-hmm. There were hints of... They did, like, these little interludes in between, like, the sections of the book, like, the actual story. And there was one interlude that's always stuck with me, and it was one where Emperor Palpatine before, you know, maybe during the Galactic Civil War or whatever, had sent, like, sort of, like, expeditions, like, you know, like, Timothy Zahn stories where, like...
Explore the Outer Rims.
Or whatever. And one of those missions was to go and explore, like, the very, very, like, unexplored space in the Star Wars galaxy, and sort of he thought that the true, like, nature of the Force was out there. So I would, like, wonder if he found a way to either resurrect or, like, clone himself, like the Dark Empire comics or something.
It sounds very Darth Plagueis. Right?
Kind of, yeah.
Which is what I always thought Snoke was going to be. I thought it made the most sense. Because, like, the weird thing about the first movie, The Force Awakens, is that it is literally, structure point by structure point remake of A New Hope. Except the difference being they have the Emperor in that one. That's Snoke.
Yeah.
But there's no explanation, really, of how Snoke knows what he knows, how he has the powers and resources he has, why anyone even works for him, and how he knows about things like Vader.
Well, you know what? I just thought of this, too, as I was speaking and as we were speaking. What if, like, the Emperor was force projecting at Snoke? Like, there's no rules to it. Like, what if he could change his... Totally. And you know, like, how it seems like Luke is a physical presence in the very beginning of that force projection, and then later on, like, obviously he reveals himself to Kylo, but, like, when he's, like, saying hi to Leia and giving her the dice, like, it's a physical presence. So couldn't the Emperor have held the sort of physical presence of Snoke, even, like, a cut-in-half Snoke, on the supremacy for that long until, like, he could disappear?
It's very strange. It also, I mean, when it comes to rules of force abilities, it's extremely unclear, because you would think if there's this much dark power still existing in the universe, why wouldn't anyone sense that? Whether they are force ghosts like Yoda, who we now know are still around.
Right.
Why aren't they sensing that? Why didn't Luke sense that? You know what I mean?
Because, I don't know. Jedi suck.
Yeah, man.
They are the worst detectives in the galaxy. True. Like, I would love a TV series of an actual, like, space detective in the Star Wars universe and just, like, being like, you Jedi don't know how to find anything.
True.
Like, detect anything,
and
ever.
You can explain to fans what's actually sort of happening. You know what I mean? Like, I still want to know how Maz Kanata got Luke's lightsaber. Have they figured that out yet?
No. Well, because this series, like, not for anything, but it's probably would get an award for the worst use of Lupita Nyong'o in history.
Oh,
not using her at all, basically.
Well, her appearance in The Last Jedi was the worst Star Wars sequence in the history of Star Wars.
Also, I just thought, like, that would have been a perfect moment to introduce Lando into the series, had been that sort of thing.
Totally.
And then bring him in, actually, like, make him an actual
good call
part of the series. Like, oh, hey, I'm a presence in this universe still. You won't see much of me this movie, but now you know I'm coming back, right? Yeah. Like, you know you're getting reinforcements from, like, a person who was a rebel.
That's a good point. If you're trying to find a splicer or anyone from the CD Underground, Lando's the guy, right?
Call Lando. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I understood that, like, Maz was kind of, like, had the pirates and all that stuff, but, like, I never got that seediness from her. The way that Lando is, like, clearly, like, sketchy.
We can talk about Lando's appearance in the trailer. First of all, standing ovation on stage.
Oh, my God.
Well-deserved.
Yeah.
Called everyone sweet.
He's just as smooth-talking and charming.
Oh, my God.
Like, 40 years later, he's amazing.
Him defending accusations against betraying.
Oh my God, I am
Han Solo.
Tired. I am tired of explaining to people why I betrayed Han Solo. It was like I was facing off against Darth Vader. I had to do something. But I mean, did anyone die?
It's true.
I, like, memorized that because it was so good. Like, did anyone die on
He said it so slow and eloquently.
Yeah. That was solid. Yeah.
But he looks great. His laugh. You get his signature laugh. He's flying the Falcon again.
Using the Donald Glover costume.
Yeah. That was interesting. It's the yellow shirt with the cape. Yeah.
I wonder if it was, like, a sort of, like, shorthand for younger audiences. Do you think maybe that's what it was?
It could be.
Because, like, I don't know, if I'm a kid who is just jumping into Star Wars maybe and Solo was one of my first ones, like, I probably would want that connection.
Maybe it's easier to print Hasbro toys when it's the same costume. You just gotta switch the head.
You know what? That's a great... Oh, my God. That is a great point. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking to Hasbro tomorrow. I'm going to ask
them.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like, hey, was this
but
the
also Rey, when she's training, that shot where she's training in the Force, this is not in part of the trailer, but it's in the stills they showed.
Yeah.
She's holding a stick, a staff, sort of, training in the Force, and she's wearing the sort of a cleaner version of the outfit she had on Jakku, like her OG outfit.
Yeah. So. And I love that new costume, like, the white is great.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's get into her actual weapons.
Right.
Because she has the blaster, obviously. She has Han Solo's blaster.
Yep.
I don't know if did she have that in the last movie? I forget if she ever used it. She didn't use it, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I don't think she had it. She had her staff.
Yeah.
Which actually Finn is carrying in this movie. In a shot. He's got it and when he's on the desert planet with Poe. But anyways, the more important thing is that she has Luke Skywalker's lightsaber again.
Which
like refuses to die. Like that's like that lightsaber refuses to go away. Ever.
Just like Kylo Ren's helmet. Which somebody, but not Kylo Ren, some people think, rebuilt. If you notice the hands in that shot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's some creature with very hairy arms.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about. But yeah, it's very strange because the whole point of what Rian Johnson is trying to do is to like get away from nostalgia a little bit.
Yeah.
Subvert expectations about the past die. It's a quote in the film. Sure. And then right away in this film, JJ is like, nope, we're bringing back the helmet, the lightsaber, all the characters. Oh, and Palpatine's alive too. And it's like, wait a second. Oh, God, I hope this is not a remake of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah. It's like such, like, it does feel like a 180 in that way, right? Where it's like, you know, Rian Johnson wanted to subvert that stuff. And for better or worse, you know, whatever everybody's opinion is, you know, like, I think that he did a specific thing. And he stuck to it to the very end, right? And it seems like JJ definitely is going his direction again. Like,
yeah.
It's very much like, hey, these are the things you love, and this is this movie. Like, we're just going to give you things you love. Like, I'm guessing you're very pro Ewok.
I dig Ewoks, sure.
I would have lost it the opposite way if I'd seen an Ewok. Like, I don't want to see an Ewok.
I don't want to see Ewoks ever again.
unless it's like Warwick Davis, like, running around.
Oh, he's like the old leader of the Ewoks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'd be great. Like, we see, like, old
it
man.
It wouldn't be great.
Old man, no, old man Wicket, like battle hardened.
He's like, yeah, and they all wear like half pieces of stormtrooper
armor. He's learned English.
Now.
Yeah, he's learned basic or whatever the language is.
They've probably all been converted by Palpatine. They're like his army now.
Yeah, that'd be great. No, and you know what? So, anyways, but the lightsaber.
Yeah.
The thing that I noticed about it is like you can't become a Jedi until building your own lightsaber, right? So that's a symbolism of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's sort of a parallel to that deleted scene in Return of the Jedi where like it opens with like Luke building his lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if we're going to either get a scene like that, like where she's rebuilding this lightsaber that got split. And this is kind of like a symbolic, like, hey, you just have to face the final trial now.
Maybe, but they seem to skip over stuff like that. Like, again, we still don't know how Maz Kanata got the lightsaber in the first place.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like given that time has passed at this point, I don't think we're going to see her reading those books too much or building the lightsaber. I feel like she's just going to have it.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm a big EU fan, and that's the thing that sort of bothers me. I mean, I've read more Legends that I've been pretty bad about reading the newer stuff.
Which is in canon now.
Which is, yeah, the canon stuff as opposed to Legend stuff, which is the out-of-canon stuff. But, you know, like, it seems like we should have gotten that story by now. The, like, how did Maz get this lightsaber story, you know? Like, we haven't gotten that yet.
It's very nonsensical unless they address that clearly.
Yeah.
And I would hate for them to be like, oh, yeah, read the books. It'll explain it in some...
Well, I've been hearing it for years, right? Like, I think I heard it way before even Disney bought the Star Wars license, like, the idea of, like, Luke Skywalker's hand floating in space.
So apparently that was one of the versions.
That was one
that
of the versions,
could have been the Michael
Arndt
script for all we know.
Yeah.
Look.
And she, like, just recovered it.
That's why my expectations are kind of weird, because the Force Awakens gets a lot of love, but like that film was literally just A New Hope. And the more I look back on that, I'm like, I love watching it because it's visually impressive. The scores are amazing. All the, you know, everything, the actors, the new cast, amazing. I love to watch it for the characters. And I'm right now looking at this trailer, I feel like I'm going to be watching it for the visuals and characters again. I don't know if the story is there. They're not teasing it yet, but I don't know if it's ever going to be there because of how they kind of got here.
Yeah.
Because right now, They defeated most of the Empire, came back as the First Order, no change. They fly giant triangles that launch TIE fighters. You know what I mean?
That's the same thing.
And then the Resistance, the Rebels are now the Resistance. Yeah. They still don't get taken too seriously.
Sure.
Leia's still sacrificing everything and leading the charge. And then, you know, they are still running away to planets and using speeders to take down giant mechs.
Yeah.
Which we saw in Last Jedi. So in this movie, we're going back to the Force Moon of Endor. We're going to see a Death Star for the fourth or fifth time.
Yeah.
If we include Rogue One.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any super weapons in this film?
You know what? Oh, man, I really hope not, dude. Like, when I saw the scrap of the Death Star, I panicked because, like, oh no. It's gonna be like the scrap of the Death Star, and they're going to look up, and it's a brand new Death Star. And I was like, please no.
But it's like a giant triangle this time. So like, oh my God.
Like a giant hexagon in space. No.
Half built.
I don't want to see any more super weapons. I really hope that Abrams does it. It's such a shorthand, like, way of, like, just, like, wrapping up your themes with an explosion. Like,
it is.
I don't like it.
I think I'm done with the whole First Order Resistance because no matter who wins, they never actually win. And, like, I don't know what either it's really like, wants.
Yeah, you know what? And that's a really good point, because it's like, I felt because, I guess because the Rebels versus the Empire is that original story. Like, it feels like this one feels so piecemeal and so kind of cruddy. Like,
totally.
It's shorthand for that first one.
Someone
right?
built
it's
a whole just, bunch of new Star Destroyers. I don't know who or why. Yeah, and what are they doing? Like, do they want...
They just want to take over the galaxy and kill the Jedi.
Do they not have enough money? Do they want, like... Do they have really good infrastructure and economic ideas for all the planets they run? Well...
Yeah, you never see them run their planets. Like...
Well, did you play Battlefront 2? They kill their own planets.
That's right. They did like that storm thing. Yeah, no. I saw, which is from the comics actually, but yeah, no, I played a part of that game, but I hated it.
Yeah, so. The story was not hot.
No.
But that's where I'm at. The whole idea, the backdrop of the First Order or Empire and the Resistance or
basically
Rebellion,
Empire and
it's become meaningless. And so like my problem with The Last Jedi of many is like the beginning scene where it's like a big fleet attacking and I'm not sure what they're doing. And then like, when you see the Resistance escaping, their big plan is to escape to the planet with transports, and it's like 20 of them, and we're seeing the Imperial fleet get closer and shooting them one after the other, and we're supposed to feel so bad for them, but nobody who's named or even we see their faces is dying. So they could have had 6,000 transports going down the planet. They could have knocked out 5,000 of them and it would make no difference because they're still flying giant triangles, and it's like it really is just about the characters. So which is probably why they're naming it The Rise of Skywalker, but what that means still
It just seems like there's so much ground to cover. You know, it's like, because you have to, you know, you have to wrap up the Kylo Ren story. You have to wrap up who the hell Rey is. You have to wrap up, you know, Finn and Poe's story. You have to find an elegant way for Leia to exit. Which, by the way, I liked the footage I saw of Leia.
It was really cool.
Like in her, like, TFA General Leia outfit. Yeah. Because that's, like, obviously, like, unused footage. So I'm, like, really interested in how they, like, digitally manipulated that into becoming, you know, the Rise of Skywalker footage. Mm-hmm. It looked good. I don't know.
But let's go back to the lightsaber thing. Yeah. So, yeah, to answer your question, no, I don't think we're going to see her building it. I am surprised.
This is a very long way to answer that question. We went all the way around.
Just like these Star Wars plot lines. We went all over the place. But, yeah, no, I'm surprised by this trilogy holding back on introducing new, like, lightsabers. It's just been Kylo's and Luke's the whole time. Like, no one's building them or anything.
Yeah, well, we were having a debate on Denna Geek Slack and just deciding what color the lightsaber was going to be like.
A lot of people thought white.
Our editor-in-chief, Mike Giacchini, thought it was going to be green. He's like, if I see a green lightsaber, I'm going to scream.
Well, because Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, it's Abrams, right? So it's got to be a green lightsaber. And like I thought, no, it's going to be a white lightsaber, you know, like... just sort of like representing the most pure version of the light side.
Right.
She's going to have a white lightsaber.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I thought white was more representative of there being no side.
Huh? Isn't that gray?
Well, like Ahsoka, the whole idea of her having the gray white lightsaber is because she finally realized there is no light side or dark side. There's my side. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's true.
I thought the true balance is getting rid of these extremist views and kind of going down the middle path. Which is what a lot of people theorize. You know, this movie will end probably with Rey starting a new her version of a Jedi Academy, but it's just an academy for Force users. Who she can nurture, and they can call them the Skywalkers or whatever they want. And I don't know. But yeah, I would be, I don't know. I kind of want to see another lightsaber. Not a crazy gimmick lightsaber like Kylo's, but like, I don't know, a new color maybe?
Like a new color, like even like just an Inquisitor lightsaber, like anything like
I don't like the Inquisitors. I think they're wiping them under the rug.
I kind of like them.
They're just random Force guys who just come out of nowhere and they killed them
all. Well, they were like the Temple Guard. And then they became the bad guys.
But they all
and
got Force way cooler.
I think they switched sides for the lightsabers, to be honest.
They had, like, spinning
blades.
They're
cool, dude. Like, they're cool, man.
Crappy gimmicks. I hate that. I hate Man. That.
Dave Filoni, if you're listening, yeah. Rob Key's opinion does not reflect the opinion.
Dave, I like wolves too, but the lightsabers, come on now.
Anyways, let's go down. I'm like literally looking at my trailer breakdown, and okay. we saw a couple of planets,
mm-hmm.
and I wonder if you made sense of any of them. Like, first there was, like, that mountainous region, and it had, like, those, like, couple... I don't know if it was, like, a village or, like, a little town.
The one at night?
The one at night, yeah.
Yeah, with the A-Wing. No, I'm not sure where that's going, but that's a person flying by themselves. That could be, like, Poe or Wexley or something.
Sure.
Wexley's back.
Right, Snap is back with that, like, slug dude.
Yeah, with his new friend who's supposed to be, like, I guess he's, like, comedic relief.
He's a resistance person.
He's I want to see him fight.
Yeah.
Does he even have limbs? I forget what he looks like now.
I don't know. He kind of reminded me of, like, the Hanoi in Mass Effect. Like, just, like, very smart, but probably useless. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, no, there was that one. There was, obviously, the wooded area where, like, Kylo is, you know, laying down the law.
And it's
that one shot of Kylo in the entire trailer.
So you think that's one of the members of the Ren? Like, that's what people were wondering.
You know what? He kind of looked... The guy that he's attacking kind of looks like the aliens that they showed.
Like
those big aliens with the big robes?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But that was on a desert planet, and he's doing this in a forest.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Also, you know what? And I really hope this is not the case. Like, the different sort of, like, landscapes and all that, like, the terrains, make me think that all of this is going on a Starkiller base.
Oh, God. Don't.
Like, imagine that, though, you know? Because they show, like, all these different, like, they're, I don't know. There's, like, no defining features to, I haven't found any,
if they
like,
can
to
build
desert world
a planet-sized
like
weapon. In a year, or whatever time passed since The Last Jedi. Then this,
and it's all, for some reason, winter forest.
Yeah,
it's just like...
It's because it looks good with the red.
Yeah, it does.
So those shots you're talking about, I think, are just in the teaser, just to showcase.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a wallpaper simulator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like wide shots, beautiful. Like, even like the whole thing. Let's talk about the main sequence, which is like literally almost two-thirds of the trailer, which is Rey breathing in heavily,
desert,
preparing to be...
How cool
attacked,
is that?
I guess.
Like, I got a...
I got a
like, Magnificent Seven vibe from that. Like I wish it'd been more things coming at her. Like, a sort parallel to Luke facing off against all of the First Order.
So, the assumption, I guess, is that is Kylo Ren, right?
In the TIE Interceptor. Yeah.
It is not the same ship as The Last Jedi, because he flew the TIE Silencer.
Right.
Which looks like a TIE Interceptor, but it's more hexagonal. It's square. Yeah. This is actually a TIE Interceptor. And for those, you ever play X-Wing or TIE Fighter, those games?
Yeah.
I'm the world's best one versus one TIE Interceptor pilot in X-Wing Alliance.
No, it's not.
Fact. Look it up. Actually, I'm the best. So seeing the TIE Interceptor is like, oh, yeah, I want to be that guy. But then I'm like wondering, so she's preparing to be attacked by this thing. She does this crazy cool flip. Yeah. And they talked about the stunt team and the amazing work they did in this film to make Rey look even more incredible. But what is that TIE Interceptor doing? Because if it's trying to attack her, it would have shot from afar.
Yeah.
It's trying to run her over? Why is it flying at her?
You have to assume if it's Kylo, the Supreme Leader is too cocky to shoot from far away.
But if he's there not to kill her, why did he just park and talk to her? Like, I don't know. So, like, if he's trying to attack, he's really failing.
Park.
Trying to, like, talk to her, he's really failing as well.
It was a no-standing zone.
It was
he couldn't park.
It's an open desert. Yeah. Like, nothing about that scene logistically, and this is the same thing with The Last Jedi, makes sense. It's like The Last Jedi. When you remember the opening sequence of The Last Jedi is the big space battle.
Sure.
We see... our boy Poe with his modified X-Wing attacking the Dreadnought and a fleet of Imperial Star Destroyers, or whatever, First Order Star Destroyers. Yeah. And then we see that shot of the General or Admiral saying, hey, we should have launched our fighters 5 minutes ago. I'm like, well, why didn't you? You are the leader. You have fighters. This is what you do. So, like, logistically, it never makes sense when I see these scenes. But, hey, visually, it makes for a great YouTube thumbnail, for sure.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah. I mean, just going through,
I need,
like,
context for that scene.
Yeah, no, just going through the screen grabs, like, they're all gorgeous.
Totally.
Like, every single shot.
That's really what this teaser is.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious about why someone would fly a TIE Interceptor at a lightsaber wielding.
Well,
Jedi.
At first, when I first saw it, I thought it was, like, some sort of, like, land speeder. And then, like, going back and seeing
it
again,
I could sense it.
TIE Interceptor.
I could sense it.
Yeah, no, it was, like, too fast of a scene.
With
for
new
me.
Paint, it has the red sort of elite.
Yeah. No, so, okay, but let's talk about the big planet, right? We kind of touched on this in the beginning, mm-hmm. like Endor.
Yeah.
It's Endor. You think it's Endor?
It must be. I mean, where else would there be?
Well, I was thinking, again, this goes back to, like, the EU stuff. Like, I was kind of thinking it probably isn't, but I kind of was thinking it was Yavin, to be honest. Like, because that would be an interesting way to go full circle from the very first chapter of the series and having the final battle on
so
that planet again.
The
and
significance so, being that's where the old Jedi temples are, I suppose.
Exactly, the old Jedi temples, and also because the force tree that was at, what's the planet called?
Force
Luke's.
Oh yeah, I forget.
God, was such a
Act Two.
Act Two, right? Yeah. Act Two, obviously. Act Two, yeah. Cute Abrams. Yeah,
you mean Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. The Q, the Q Force tree that was on Act Two burnt down. Obviously, like Yoda burnt it down. But in the Shattered Empire Marvel comic, Luke Skywalker rescues two of those trees and gives one of them to Shara Bey, who is Poe Dameron's mom. What? So I wonder if it has anything to do with that tree, A, but also if...
Why would Luke do that? That seems very
strange. What happened in the comic. That's literally what happened in the comic.
Like,
and Poe was born on Yavin.
When did he do that, though?
Right after Return of the Jedi. So it's a comic that kind of like... it was supposed to connect Return of the Jedi with The Force Awakens. Obviously, it didn't do that because Disney just kind of like makes vague things all the time for this universe. But yeah, that's this actual storyline that happens. They go and rescue two forest trees.
Mm-hmm.
Luke takes one for himself to plant on Octu, and he gives the other one to Shara Bey. And she plants it in Yavin 4, and that's where Poe is born.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it has anything to do with going back to Poe's homeland, but also, yeah, visiting the Masasi temples and sort of like...
Yeah, but at this point, given what we've seen in the TV show, it's like there's nothing special about those temples. They're just more Jedi temples, right, I guess, right?
Yeah,
They seem to be everywhere these days. You know what I mean?
But like they used to, I mean, in old canon anyways, they used to be like big like harbingers of the dark side at one point. Like there was like a lot of dark side energy. So like I wonder if there was a way that...
But you gotta remember the Palpatine angle. That... The Palpatine angle and where Vader died,
but
almost makes you think.
But again, I think that's a huge red herring. We should talk about, like, obviously let's talk about this before we go. I think that's a huge red herring. I think it's a cameo. I honestly think it's a quick Force Ghost cameo.
Oh, maybe.
And that has nothing to do with the scrap of that star they found.
It could be.
Because
but Palpatine's in this, that's the whole thing. That's what
Do you think so?
If he's in this at all, he must be the guy pulling the strings the whole time.
To introduce, like, that's a whole other thing to do. So what do you think? Kylo and Rey then have to team up to fight Palpatine?
I mean, would it give us a cool slow-mo action sequence we can put any music to?
Yeah. I'm sure that was a prerequisite when writing the final scene of the movies. Like, we have to make sure
200 pop culture songs.
This is incredibly memeable. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I wrote that in my breakdown anyways. Was like, this, like, don't get it twisted. Like, I went through, like, the whole, like, this could be Dark Empire and he could have found a way to, like, clone his body and, like, send his soul to, like, you know, a cloning facility and come back that way.
I don't think they're going to touch clones.
No, obviously not. But I mean, like, that sort of concept of, like...
No, for sure, but also...
it's not going to be an easy explanation.
I don't think... I think...
Like, if he's back in the flesh, like, how are they going to science that?
He should be.
I mean, Star Wars science.
Most powerful Sith guy we've met, right?
Sure.
So him falling down a tube, no big deal.
Sure.
We saw Leia fly in space.
Sure.
We saw, you know, Maul come back from being dropped down a similar tunnel and get cut in half.
That means Han has to come back.
Yeah.
That means Han is back.
Is Han a Sith Lord?
Jar Jar was.
Yeah, it's actually... Palpatine is Jar Jar. That's the real...
I hope that the Emperor took his soul and sent it into Jar Jar's body. Oh, that would be amazing.
I mean, at this point, I would take that. I don't really care. I don't know. No, I think Palpatine's extremely important. And I do think there's very intentional when they showed us Vader's helmet. Which means, you know, Kylo was there.
Sure.
That's where he must have met. Also, it plays into those those fan theories of, man, when they killed the second Death Star, that must have caused, like, environmental destruction of the forest moon.
Right.
So the Ewoks were probably extinct. That planet must be in ruins. And so when you see the shot of, like, the rune there, like, maybe this planet is all messed up now.
No, well, maybe they can't have been extinct because, like, they had a party right after.
Yeah, but the stuff was still falling. It takes a while for stuff to fall.
You think so?
Totally.
Dude, I don't know. Like, that's what I also thought, like, because there's water in that shot. There's water. But there is all this dead land. And again, there is, like,
it looks like an ocean.
Area. And
yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'd have to go back and look at a picture of what Endor looks like, but I just thought it was completely wooded. But I guess it wouldn't make sense. They would have to have water
on
the planet for it to be habitable. So I guess there could be water on it.
Sure.
Either way, again, it's like, like what you said, the trailer is a proof of concept. The trailer is, like, aesthetically pleasing, and it's just showing you the beautiful shots of this movie, and that shot of, like, the scrap of the Death Star, which is obviously a callback to, like, the sort of, like, Imperial scrapyard on Jakku.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have that beautiful shot in the ocean, like, this piece of the Death Star sticking out. Like, I thought that was really beautiful.
Yeah. I think they're doing what Disney's also doing with Avengers Endgame, because they're both serving similar purposes, sort of ending the current versions of their universes, which has been both, in both cases, built up for many, many, many years in movies. So it's interesting that they showed, like, really no dialogue or story bits. It really is just visual teases of
things. You're right, there wasn't any dialogue. No, so like, no one spoke at all. Just Mark Hamill's the Emperor.
Yeah, and his maniacal laugh. What I would really love, do you have any wild, crazy theories, you think? I mean, outside of your clone Palpatine
stuff. Well, no, like, you know, no, not like the clone Palpatine stuff, but, like, I think that, and I'm going to cheat here because this is a rumor that I read on Making Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
And it was sort of the idea that, the Knights of Ren are definitely in this movie, right?
Yeah.
But that leak poster is...
They appeared in a leaked retail poster. Right. And it would be insane if they didn't come
back.
So
what I read, and I kind of like this idea, but again, this would be so much to fit, but because the Emperor's in the
movie... I know
what
you're going to say.
Like the movie's supposed to, apparently, this rumor, the movie's supposed to explain where they've been, and apparently they've been in the far reaches of space.
Of course.
And they come back as sort of an antagonizing force.
Okay.
And that's why Kylo and Kylo and Daisy have to basically face the Knights of Ren.
So that's,
like,
so that shot, he could actually be killing a Knight of Ren. It looks like he's using an axe or something.
Yeah.
And I gotta look at it again, but I thought I wasn't clear if there were stormtroopers in that scene and which side they're on.
Sure. So. No, I thought it was like an alien force, right? Like that, my head went to Yuuzhan Vong right away, right? Because I grew up reading Star Wars books in like the 90s. But then I thought, well, what if the Emperor Resurgent is like, well, I got my own army in the far, like, out in, like, unexplored, you know, the unexplored territories.
I really want to know
coming back and
why
I'm
they keep
out all
going
of you.
To outer space. Do they find a map somewhere to say, hey,
but also,
is there
why
treasure
do you keep going
there?
Into outer space, like, outer space and not taking us there? That is my big thing. It's like, why don't you ever, why don't we ever go to the unknown reaches?
They created the biggest MacGuffin ever in cinematic history. It is all of the universe outside of the
Earth. Yeah. It's like,
there's nothing out there.
Yeah. We can't even go there, right? It's like Chiss space, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't go there for some reason. We never go there, except like in books. You've never been there on screen.
It's like all these artifacts we keep seeing in games and other media, but not in the movies. Like, even like, you haven't done you did the Vader Immortal thing?
I did it today.
So there's a puzzle box. Like,
right.
You are a force sensitive character.
And you pull out a kyber crystal, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, that's not in the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
with the Battlefront 2 in the storyline, you see Luke go to the planet and find that compass thing. And it's like, also not in the movies. It's random MacGuffins that are supposed to be like hinting at these greater powers and magic sources and stuff that are hidden in the outer rim of the galaxy. We never actually see that in the movies. Yeah. Like, is it real?
So I'm adopting the rumor as my fan theory.
Okay,
like, I think that the Emperor's coming back to take everyone out. Like, he's like, I let you kids fight it out.
Sure.
For long enough, and now you guys have placed it. Because that's the way the Emperor works.
Right.
The Emperor doesn't do any actual work, ever.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's just, like, manipulating everyone. So, like, it does meet, like, it does fit his, like, modus operandi, like, of, like, oh, hey, I let you guys do all the work. I let the Confederacy and the Republic do all the work. I'm coming back now, and I'm taking everything over. So, yeah. It fits, and it also fits that maybe he force projected himself as Snoke.
That would, I mean, Snoke is such a
unless he took Snoke as his apprentice.
Snoke is such an absurd.
Snoke
concept.
Was the worst.
He's the absolute worst.
Snoke was the worst, and I think. I mean, I don't know if you agree with like in The Last Jedi, like one of the good things that happened in that movie is just like erasing Snoke.
Totally. I still want to know where it came from, though. Like, why he has a scar?
Again, Disney, publish a book. Like, it's not that hard. I don't want to watch the Snoke prequel. I don't want to watch that.
It's why they're so against things like the Darth Plagueis, because there is a Darth Plagueis book. And like, it's directly referred to in episode 3, so you think it'd be very important. It's very strange that they're like, no, it doesn't matter. I'm like, I think it does matter.
Yeah.
He taught Palpatine, and he created like the idea of resurrection, so that seems extremely important these days. So the theory I
what's
like,
your theory? Yeah,
my theory, and this has nothing to do with what's in the trailers or rumors.
This has nothing to do with Star Wars.
This is so let me tell you about Hawkeye and Avengers. So Mark Hamill has always been interested, and he's been public about this in the past, including on an episode for that dinner party show that Jon Favreau used to host with Kevin Smith. J.J. Abrams and Mark Hamill on an episode many, many years ago, and he talked about it there as well. But basically, Mark Hamill said, I pitched to George Lucas, I wanted to come back as a villain.
No, stop.
And he wanted to have that hair design that we saw Padawans like Obi-Wan use like that samurai look. Because he spent time in Japan and loved that. And he wanted a costume. So yeah, it got all that in pieces or showed up in other ideas. But like, I love the idea in my head. I'm like, what if we can take out that Palpatine laugh and put in like a Joker Hamill laugh? And it's like, that is far more interesting to me. And what's also, what it really makes me like that idea even more is, and it's wild, but it plays the idea of Rise of the Skywalker, and mm-hmm, it plays the idea that Skywalker lineage is cursed. They are always bad.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, why would anyone want to be a Skywalker?
It fits. It also fits, like, why Luke was actually just randomly in hiding for a long period of time when people he loves or need his help.
Maybe he's a fuck up.
So he's definitely not, to me, it's like, it makes more sense. Maybe he wasn't really in hiding. Maybe he was actually doing planning and other stuff, or like you're forced projection. Yeah, thing. Maybe yeah. It's absolutely him.
I don't want
that.
He had
limited training. He started late. His father is a psycho. So it's like, it makes sense. But also, one thing I do find interesting about The Last Jedi, there are many things interesting about that. Yeah. But we get to see both perspectives of that sequence when he was trying to teach Kylo. And he thought he had to kill Kylo. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
He takes the lightsaber to him. And we see Kylo's perspective of that, where Mark Hamill looks like he's a crazy
Sith. And the yellow eyes. The yellow Sith eyes.
Crazy. And then we also see Mark Hamill's perspective, where he says he changed his mind, this and that. But I'm like...
It is a he said, she said.
But it's the first time in Star Wars history we've seen two different versions of a scene where they are creating deception amongst the viewers.
That's a good point.
And the characters who we're following. So I'm like, man, nothing is to be believed at this point.
And no one ever thinks of the villain.
And I'm like, I love the idea that he comes back and he's a Force ghost or whatever. Maybe, and then he's actually been kind of behind the scenes. I'm not saying that.
Oh, man.
I'm not saying that's likely at all.
Like, the one thing I got from that.
I just love the idea of that.
Like, the one thing I got from that is that you're a cynical, cynical man. And you have a heart as cold as ice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if people were mad that Luke did nothing in Last Jedi, bringing him back as a villain would be the worst.
But his backstory is that he's actually been doing everything. It's just a total turnaround. He's not been doing nothing. He's been doing everything. It's not what you think. And that's why they've been holding back. And it's the only reason that makes sense to me why they would not make a movie about him teaching Rey, which I believe was actually, well, we know for a fact that was actually in the very first versions of Episode 7.
Right, yeah.
And I believe had Abrams done Episode 8, we probably would have been Luke training Rey.
Yeah.
And we got pieces of that Mark L. Arndt script they threw away.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. But if they're not going to do any of that, he's been doing something. I refuse to believe he's actually been on this planet doing nothing this whole time with all his power and resources. No. Maybe he's a psycho villain.
Wow.
Anyways, that's a fun random thing. There's no evidence to support that. Just conceptually, it sounds interesting to me.
On that note, Rob, because you've broken this podcast. I regret inviting you. Like, because now I'm going to think about that, and it fits.
Yeah.
And now I hate it.
The Rise.
Now I hate this movie. Wow. Yeah, now because I hadn't thought of, like, the significance of that, but it could totally... Because, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Rise of Skywalker. Yeah.
It's all cyclical, man. That. They're going back to Endor.
I hate that.
Luke's bad. He's been working with Palpatine the whole time.
He's defeated by an Ewok.
Yeah.
No, I really hope we get Old Man Wicket, though. Like, I'm not even kidding about that.
I don't want to see
that. Like, if I have to see one Ewok, I want to see, like, Old Man Wicket, the last of his species. No, because all the other Ewoks were extinct because of the Death Star crash?
Sure.
It's just Old Man Wicket.
No, there's a small tribe left, and they're all wearing, like, little pieces of Stormtrooper armor. And they're, like, half advanced now, and they can kind of speak in little bits. And they're well-nourished, because they ate all those Stormtroopers.
Oh, yum.
Right? Those
that's true.
They're little cannibals.
There were.
People forget that. They would have ate everybody exactly. If it wasn't for C-3PO. That would have been a weird end to the trilogy. But, yeah, I think... I'll give you this. If you can have an Ewok... If there's absolutely no scenes with porgs.
Stop. Porgs are better.
No.
Porgs are much better. I don't know why I had to whisper that. Porgs are better.
No, we don't need those little merchandise thingies. No.
Oh, man. Well, Rob, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Where can we find you on social media?
On Twitter, it's just @Rob_Keyes. It's KEYES. And if you're into games, I know John is, you can find me on Twitch in the evenings. It's twitch.tv/failcube.
Yeah, I've watched some of your Twitch streams. Yeah.
Lurker.
Yeah. And I've been on them. I've been on one at least. We played Anthem together. That was fun.
Oh, man. Remember that game?
Yeah, yeah. Yikes. That was the worst.
Yikes.
And obviously, I'm John Saavedra, your Star Wars editor at Den of Geek. Everything we talked about today, you can find on denofgeek.com in my trailer breakdown. And we'll have much more Star Wars coverage from Star Wars Celebration coming at you for the rest of the weekend and into the rest of the year while, Star Wars mania is reignited.
Yeah, big time.
And you can find me on Twitter at JohnSJR9. So make sure to tune in to the rest of our Star Wars Celebration coverage in the coming days. Thanks so much, guys.
And may the Force be with you.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.